firsts left for women to conquer. By hearing Mary's story, we are reminded how far we have already come, and more importantly, perhaps, we may learn how to successfully complete the journey. When George asked me to write this forward, I wondered what Mary, who shunned public and professional recognition, would think. I hoped that she would appreciate the need to celebrate those like her who persistently aspire to and do achieve something extraordinary. Not extraordinary for a woman, but extraordinary unqualified. And in this new world Mary helped create, that is something to which we can all aspire, while simply, though not necessarily, quietly being ourselves. Ashley Stroop. Ashley Stroop, Ph.D., is a robotics engineer at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. She performs research and supports operations of spacecraft. In 2005, she became the first woman to remotely drive a vehicle on another planetary body. She is currently one of a handful of pilots trained to drive the Mars rovers. 1. This is a story. This is a story about a mother who never talked to her children. This is a story about a wife who rarely talked to her husband, though they were married for 53 years. This is a story of a woman who desperately wanted happiness, but could never summon the strength to reach for it. This is a story of a woman who had a family that loved her, but who struggled to love them in return. This is a story about a woman whom people admired, but could never get close to. This is a story of a woman who harbored many secrets and lived in daily fear that those secrets would one day be revealed. This is the story of a woman who took those secrets to her grave. This is a story about America's first female rocket scientist. This is a story about my mother. Mary Sherman was born on November 4, 1921, on a small farm in a remote corner of North Dakota. There is no record of who was present that day, as the Shermans were never great record keepers. On August 4, 2004, 82 years later, Mary was admitted to the emergency room of West Hills Hospital in West Hills, California, with chest pains. Her husband, my father, G. Richard Morgan, was by her side. An hour later, Mary was dead. There is no record of who else except my father was present, as the Morgans have never been great record keepers. They wheeled her body out of the room, and a nurse collected the possessions she left behind. A handful of home-sewn clothing, 50 feet of clear plastic oxygen tubing, and a plastic bag overflowing with exotic medications. That afternoon, my father began calling his children, which included my brother Stephen, a long-haul trucker, my sister Monica, a draftsman living in Oregon, and my sister Karen, a government health worker in nearby Orange County. He called me last and asked that I write Mary's obituary for the Los Angeles Times. I told him I would be honored. I did not expect any challenges writing her obit. Even though my mother always refused to discuss her 1950s top-secret Cold War work with any of her four children, we had learned quite a few things from eavesdropping on little snippets of conversation between our parents and their friends. We knew, for instance, that our mother had been a rocket scientist, that her work included designing new and exotic rocket propellants, and that she had made several historical achievements that helped usher in the space age. Taking this obituary assignment most seriously, I interviewed my father, found out a number of things I never knew about my mother, wrote the obit, and submitted it to the Times. I assumed that getting her obituary published would be a slam dunk, given that my mother was the inventor of Hydyne, the rocket propellant that boosted America's first satellite, Explorer 1, into orbit. Her invention had helped rescue America's tarnished reputation in the wake of Russia's launch of Sputnik 1 and 2. It was a significant milestone in the history of America's space program, especially since she had been the only woman out of 900 engineers, and she didn't even have a college degree. To my surprise, however, the Times refused to print the obit. The reason, they said, was that my mother's life could not be independently verified. They said that they had checked the claims in my obit article and could not verify any of them. They could not verify any of them.